Welcome to Author Voices on Air, and I'm your host, Rick Bell. George Alwyn Hogg was a man of remarkable dedication and honour. Though he died in 1945 at the age of just 30, Alwyn's name and legacy is remembered in China to this day, where as a wise and noble friend to the people of China, he immersed himself in the culture and the life of the Chinese people, whom he served in his mission. In our next book, In Blades of Grass, the story of George Alwyn Hogg, the author and nephew of the late Mr. Hogg, Mark Alwyn Thomas, explores his uncle's own letters and writings and shares this astonishing life story of perseverance, service and dedication. Joining me now to tell us more about the man that was George Alwyn Hogg is the author and nephew, Mark Alwyn Thomas. Welcome to the show, Mark, and thank you.
Thank you, Rick,
for joining me today. Now, let's begin by going right back to the start, when it all happened. Tell us a little of the story of what motivated you to write this book.
Right, yes, that I grew up with a very close connection with my uncle, although, of course, I never knew him. He died 6 months before I was born. And in his memory, I guess, I was given the same middle name as him, Aylwin, which is an ancient Celtic name. Anyway, he was known as Aylwin in the family, and I, as I say, adopted his name as my middle name. Now, in the 1988, my family elected me to represent my Uncle Aylwin's family as during a series of unprecedented memorial events in China. During my visit there, I was invited to act the role of my uncle in a miniseries for Chinese television. And I agreed to do that and returned to China that same year. Well, in preparation for that acting role, Aylwin's sister, Rosemary, assured me that I should just be myself in taking on the role, as I apparently was very much like Aylwin in very many ways. So I kind of got even deeper into thinking, you know, this uncle of mine that I didn't know a lot about at the time, I thought I need to investigate. So I became intrigued by the story, and Rosemary passed on to me all of her brother's letters and papers for my research. The first draft of the book was made some 25 years ago, but for the last 10 years or so of my working life, the developing manuscript lay more or less dormant. Life, as it were, got in the way for a while. But now in my retirement, I've found the time and resources to get my version of the story out there. So here we are with a published book, came out in January this year.
Now, he was obviously someone that inspired not only you as his nephew and as the author of the book, but your family must be extremely proud of your uncle and of the fact that he was remembered by the people of China. But can I ask, when did you first hear about your uncle? Is he someone you've always known about, or did he recently come into your life?
He's always been there in the background, as it were. But, you know, I guess his memory for his siblings, my mother as his elder sister, and so on, it was very painful. You know, this young guy with so much promise died at the age of 30, long away, far away from home. And on top of that, his father died shortly after. So it was tremendous stress on grandmother, Aylwin's mother, and but she started writing as a cathartic process about his childhood and so on, and trying to find some kind of reason. And this manuscript floated around the family for quite a while. So one got into part of his story anyway. But when I was invited to China to these memorial events, I became, as it were, gobsmacked as the events sort of unfolded. It became more and more clear to me that to what degree my uncle was regarded in China, his memory is hallowed even to this day. And so one's lived a certain amount with it, but the details came later.
Now, obviously, you wrote it for your family, you wrote it for his memory. But who did you have in mind as your reader?
For people who are interested in reading about an extraordinary lives, I realised that a book came out a few years ago about my uncle, but it was handled in a certain way that I thought I could enlarge upon this and give a more of a view that, in a way, has become what one might almost regard as an autobiography, in that I was able to delve into his childhood through my grandmother's writings and through the memory of Aylwin's sister, Rosemary, who passed away only 10 years ago. And she lived till her dying day with fond memories, with the memory of her brother very much on her mind. So I've tried to present the whole story anew and using Aylwin's own writings. He was such a vivid writer in portraying what he saw and did in China and prior to China during his travels through America and Japan, and finally arriving in Shanghai in 1937.
Would you say it's a story or a book with a message or a lesson for the reader?
The message, it's an inspirational story. It's an informative story about life in China at grassroots level, during that period, prior to the liberation, and certainly a long way before the madness of the Cultural Revolution. It's the building up to the so-called liberation, when Mao Zedong took power, and it's during the wartime period when Japan was telling the world it was doing good in China, but it was doing very much the opposite.
Now, without giving too much away, give us a little taster of some of the scenes and some of the other characters that are brought to life in this book.
Well, there's Aylwin himself, the main character, his selfless nature, which provided him with the strength and determination to carry out what he set out to do. Another very interesting character who became important to him in that she saved his life was a New Zealand nurse by the name of Kathleen Hall. She has such an interesting story of her own, and they came across each other two or three times. But he learnt a tremendous amount from her about the Chinese folk culture, particularly. He got deeply into the language and the way of life during the period of Kathleen Hall nursing him back to health. And then a third major character in this is Chu De, the General Chu De, commander of all guerrilla forces during the Chinese Civil War, and later to be the marshal of the Liberation Army. he met Tudor in his travels with the guerrilla forces, and Tudor gave to Aylwin a personal mission. He asked Aylwin to travel the country, see as much as he could, and so write clearly and truthfully to tell the outside world what was really going on in China.
When you were writing the book, what were some of the challenges, and on the other side of the coin, the rewards that you experienced when you sat down to write the book?
I guess the most challenging part was to try to identify and avoid the myths which, as time has gone by, the many sort of myths around Aylwin's story came about in China. So one tried to filter those out. And then the second most difficult challenge, in a way, was to avoid family sentiment. As I mentioned earlier, my grandmother wrote this quite phenomenal manuscript, which was a cathartic process and filled with a certain degree of understandable sentiment. The most rewarding aspect, I'd say, was to be in a position to delve into this remarkable man's character and life and fulfill something that his sister Rosemary had long wished for.
As an experience and as a first-time writer, has this inspired you to write any further books, maybe even a sequel?
Well, I don't know. Let's see how successful this one is. And this one took 25 years. I don't think I've got another 25 years to spend on another. But what I'm working on now is actually the possibility of the story being adapted into a documentary. I've already had an appraisal of that possibility. So this is all very exciting, and we'll see if something comes of it.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And please do let us know what comes of that, and we can share that with our listeners. Now, in closing, is there anything that you would like to add that we haven't covered during the interview that you feel is important for our listeners to know?
Perhaps some of our listeners might be aware that in 2008, a film came out from Hollywood called The Children of Huangshi, which told a small part of Aylwin's story. This was the kind of iconic aspect of his life, that he was rescuing the school that he formed along with 60 pupils and a whole load of valuable machinery. And this film was very much a Hollywood treatment, and we know what that means. I'm trying to put the real story out there, and it's raised a certain amount of interest in Britain, certainly.
Now, talking about China, talking about the tribute that they've played, they've given to your uncle, how's the book been received there?
Well, I don't know yet. We'll be there in the Beijing Book Fair in when is it, towards the end of the year, and I hope to find some interest in translating the book and publishing there in China. Certainly a certain number of academics who are into this story have contacted and are interested to get a copy, so we'll see what comes from that.
And I believe there is a website where the listeners
yes,
can
indeed,
find out more.
Yes, indeed, we set up a website, www.georgeaylwinhogg.com. And this is all about the book and various links to this, that and the other. And you'll find, actually, then President Xi Jinping's address, YouTube clip on there. And gradually I'll be adding reviews and promotional. There'll be a YouTube promotional video shortly and so on. So, as I said earlier, it's all go with the marketing processes.
And it certainly sounds like a website worth visiting. Thank you, Mark. In Blades of Grass, the story of George Aylwin Hogg is published by Author House and is available direct from the publisher at authorhouse.com/bookstore and all good book stockists. I would like to once again thank my guest today, the author, Mark Aylwin Thomas, for joining me today. This is Rick Bell for Toginet Radio. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Rick.